All right, guys, welcome to the show. This is Into the Apocalypse, episode number 19, I believe. I'm your host, Adam, and I'm the only one here right now. I do not know where Chud X is or if he's coming. I hope he is, but we've got a great guest nonetheless. So, I guess I'll just start getting some business out of the way before Chud gets here. So guys, we're a value for value show. Everything that you give to us, whether it's time, treasure, or talent, is greatly appreciated and helps us to bring you the highest quality content that you all deserve. I don't believe we had any donations this week. We haven't had any for a while. But you know what? I got a new phone, and I don't know if I have PayPal and Cash App and all that stuff set up on it yet. So maybe we have been getting some. So if you did, and you're yelling at me right now for not acknowledging you, I'm sorry. I don't have the greatest cell reception at my house, and I'm not leaving very often. Maybe every 3 or 4 days I get into a place that has cell reception. So, yeah, time, talent, treasure. Oh, we had someone made us a theme song, and it's fantastic. I love it. I got to get on here when I get some time and figure out how to add the theme song to the start of the episode. And yeah, Realm Trotter, that's you. I'll put all your info in the show notes. Thank you so much for all you did. You sent us 3 songs. They were good, but not perfect. Then you custom made us one, and it works out well. I think you guys are going to like it. It's got that, I'm not a big EDM fan or at all or anything, but for podcast theme songs, I like the 80s style electronic music, Infinite Fringe or OBDM style kind of, you know. So I like it when a podcast has a good intro song. It gets me super excited when it's a podcast I like. So hopefully we'll get that added soon and you guys can enjoy it as much as I do. No emails. Oh yeah, we got an email from Andres. Andres works in a hospital. He loves the show. He translates it to his wife from English to Spanish, which is really cool. And he's from somewhere in South America. And he's told me some wild things about where his wife grew up in the Andes in Chile. And it's pretty cool. And yeah, I believe all that stuff. But yeah, send us emails, guys, and get in that Telegram chat. And yeah, we have the merch store, and the link for that is in the show notes. And if you get into the Telegram group, hit me up and I will give you the 15% off discount code for everything on the site. We've got the new shirts, the new Meriwether Lewis Didn't Kill Himself shirts available, and a couple different kinds of shirts and hoodies. And the same for the Into the Apocalypse Spacemen shirt featuring Chud and I floating in outer space in orange spacesuits drawn by Bags of OBDM fame, who's really blown up in the truther podcast world. Everybody seems like they're getting stuff drawn by him. Just did something really cool for Tony Merkel from The Confessionals. And I'm glad to see he's having success. I hope he's making some money. But other than that, we've got some good shows coming up. I'm looking at the calendar right now. We got a good one today that I've been waiting on for a long time, but a long time coming. Very informative. And then got some cryptid stuff next week. We've got maybe some Khazarian Mafia talk next week. And then we got some, I'm going to try to get some people to come on and talk about weird forms of Christianity, whether it be some sort of like non-denominational Christ worship or Gnostic Christianity. Yeah, I've been kind of interested in that for a long time. And I think it's a good time to finally get into it. My life's been lacking a little bit of spirituality. And I'm not saying that's the direction I want to go, but I definitely want to look into it. And on the 31st, we have a really big show. Really fantastic guest that many of you will probably know. I'm going to keep it under wraps for a little while. But they just came out with a new book. Really good. And Deborah, I made Deborah. Deborah's up in the Pacific Northwest helping her daughter move. She stopped here for a couple of days. I made her get the book, the audio book, and she listened to it on her way back to California. And the conspiracy that the guy is uncovering, she's buying it. She does not believe that we went to some place that's not Earth. And yeah, so you could probably deduce who it might be. One of the most famous people that talk about that subject, and they are committed on the 31st. So Chud X is here. Let's let him in and see what he's up to. Okay, he is connected to the audio. Are you there?
I am here.
Fantastic. I've just been doing the business, talking about some of our upcoming shows. How are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good.
Yeah.
It's the end of my weekend, and I've had an incredible couple days off. So
that's fantastic.
Yeah.
In case you guys don't know, Chud X, his wife Lanny, Moral Bob, his wife Kaylee, and False Reality Check, Legs and Buffalo Rambler, and our friend Adam Schoenauer, who's made from Trust the Silence podcast, who's made an appearance on Chicken Tenders when it was still a podcast. We all did a big kind of agorist roundtable solutions-based podcast last night that we're going to do monthly, maybe even more, hopefully, coming up. Called Feed the Beauty, and it was a great talk. What'd you think?
It was, yeah, it was awesome. It felt very right. It felt very I don't know. I feel like we're all a bunch of connected souls in a certain sense. You know, like we were all meant to be there doing that together. Yeah.
Did you listen to Unloose the Goose when it first started?
A lot when it first started.
It was so good when it first started, and then it really felt like, I think people just stopped doing it. All the people that I like stopped doing it. I mean, I like some of the, I don't even know if they still do it, but it, like Nicole Sauce kind of took it over. I like her a lot, but
yeah, Nicole's awesome.
It just kind of lost the value, but it started out with Vin Armani and Pete Quinones and John Bush and Jack Spirico.
Spirico, yeah.
And Nicole Sauce, and then they'd have other people on every once in a while. It was pretty cool, but yeah, I don't listen to it anymore. But it had that kind of feel. But those people all seemed like they had it down, you know. And they would talk specific topics, which we're gonna do, but we're all gonna learn from each other. So
yeah,
it's really cool.
It's a good group. We all have something to learn from each other.
Yeah.
And I figure, you know, we could all do that in Telegram chats and, you know, conversations, you know, here and there, but why not do it in a forum and share what we're sharing with each other, with everyone?
Yeah. And a lot of times, maybe people that hear us talk about stuff or think that we're experts on something, and what you and Lanny brought up in your last show, The World As It Is Today, is great. Just talking about, you know, showing people what you know instead of teaching someone as if you are an expert. And then when you show people, you're also able to look at things through their eyes and learn yourself.
Yeah.
And yeah, I know all about that because I was an apprentice for so long. And then I became a journeyman and had apprentices working under me. And every once in a while, they'd say something and be like, oh, yeah, I never even thought of doing it that way, you know? And like,
right.
Most of the time it was really dumb, but every once in a while it was a good idea, you know?
It's true. Sometimes just having a fresh set of eyes on something, whether they've thought about the subject before or not, can totally change it. And I think all of us in this sphere of thought, you know, realize that we're always learning. We're always learning. If you don't think you're learning, then, or you don't think you need to learn, just in general, just as a general statement that you need to learn things, then, you know, you got it wrong.
Yeah. 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 Did you get some good work done on your days off?
Yeah. Yeah, sure did.
You're getting all prepped up for the springtime.
Getting prepped for the springtime, getting the beds all ready. I realized I was adding stuff to my compost a little too late this season. It's just not broken down enough. And I'm kind of kicking myself for that, but you know, got to move forward. But I set up a whole second, composting area, this weekend. Yeah. So now I'm focusing, everything's going in there. The other one's just lying still, just getting turned and continuing to be prepared. And then eventually I'll use up that stuff that we've been working on, and then I'll move everything over to the big one, the main one that I set up today. I'll move the stuff I set up today, I'll move to the one that we'd already had set up.
Yeah.
And that way I can have different stages, you know, like I've just been kind of doing it all at once, and I just got a little ahead of myself.
Yeah. It's a tough thing to figure out. I went in, repaired ours today. The dogs keep getting into it. So I fixed it up and made it so they can't. But we're doing this meal plan now, this like meal prep place, because we don't have a kitchen, you know. And they have these biodegradable little like cardboard kind of dishes that say they compost up in 90 days. So there's a bunch of them in the compost, and I'll like look out over the pasture and there'll be like 20 of them like spread out everywhere.
Yeah, with food garbage in the bottom of it too. So the dogs love it.
But I got that fixed up today, and then we're getting our sheep tomorrow. They're getting delivered, and so I built a little sheep shed in a little fenced off area, and out of some pallets. It's really easy.
What kind of fence are you using?
I have the backside of our chicken coop is just like some old welded wire fence with some barbed wire on it. And then I found a bunch of cattle panels.
There you go.
And like an old gate. And I just made like a 40 by 10 area.
Yeah.
Out in the pasture in an area that backs up to that fence. So I didn't have to do four sides. I just had to do three. But I want to move them in the pasture. So I went on Amazon and bought wire netting, you know, like electrical netting fence.
Oh, okay. Like one of those ones that's on the posts. They're kind of like flimsy posts almost.
Yeah, they're movable. So it's like, it's like 12 little fiberglass poles.
Yeah.
And it's 100 and it'll make 164 foot circle. It's like 164 feet of netting. And then so that's like a pretty like way big enough for two sheep.
Sure.
And and if you get two of them, then you can like put them in one area and then like set up the next one right next to it when that little part gets eaten down, and then you just open that one into the new one right next to it, you know,
and close it, and then you can take down the other one.
Yeah, and just like leapfrog each other. So I'm going to do that, but I just kind of had to throw something together real fast. So I just used T-posts and cattle panels and the like already existing fence. I was in there, like I was saying, I told Emily that there's just as much layers of barbed wire as there was of wallpaper in our bedroom, like just as many generations of fucked up barbed wire. So I was in there yesterday getting all cut up and hung up everywhere, cutting out old barbed wire and tearing out old posts and stuff like that, but it's all cleaned up now. So
yeah,
so we're gonna keep these sheep for 6 to 8 weeks, and then they'll be ready to butcher, and the lady we got them from is gonna do a seminar at her house. And we get to attend. We get our sheep butchered for free, wrapped for free, and cool. So it's just kind of like a really easy way to step into it.
That's really awesome. That's the stepping stone that we all need for these types of things.
Yeah,
you only find it, like we were talking yesterday at the Feed the Beauty, like at the end, you know, we're saying it's about community, you know, like finding the people around you who have real skills and abilities to help you. I mean, aside from everything you just described of your situation, you also have someone that you can call.
Yep.
Like when something's just not clicking, it's not right, you don't know what's going on, you got someone to call that really knows and cares about your situation, which is huge.
Yeah, it was really cool. She invited us out to her homestead. They've been there for 13 years. And like, it was great to see, because they have like a pretty functional homestead with Idaho pasture pigs, sheep, tons of chickens and ducks. And it, you know, it wasn't a mess, but it's not like a perfect, you know, it's not like some perfect, beautiful place. It is an awesome house that she lives in, like from 1890. But I realized a functional homestead has shit laying all over the place and stuff made out of old rotten plywood and pallets and stuff like that. And so I'm like,
those are the people you want to know, you know what I mean? Like, those are the people who are just getting it done. I mean, like, that's it's cool. I'm not dissing on anyone who has like a really nice looking farm homestead, you know, with everything painted and new and looking nice.
Yeah.
But that's like a hobby for someone who's you know, retiring, you know, and they've made their money and they're doing this. I don't know, for people like you and me, it's a little more ragtag. It's a little more like, you know, I failed miserably, but right as we moved in here, I said, I'm going to try and go, I don't remember what I might've said, like a year without going to the hardware store, cause I got so much stuff around. And of course I failed miserably.
Yeah.
As soon as you need a fastener.
And it's fun going to the hardware store.
So. Yeah. And the hardware store. And this was still 2019.
Yeah.
But I do try and keep that mentality, even though that's, you know, that was a little too extreme to say, never go to the hardware store. Anytime I need a piece of wood for something, it's like, I got to look around here for a little bit first, you know, don't just run to the lumber yard and grab what you need. There's a good chance there's something. Yeah, yeah. And man, everything's got a little more character when it looks like this too.
I don't need wood for a long time. And it's cool. I got to put up a fence and I can go look in the blackberry bushes and find stuff to make a fence.
Yeah.
So
that's great.
Well, our guest is here waiting patiently. Let's pause and let him in. We'll be right back, guys. All right, guys, we're back and we're here today with our guest. It's been a long time coming. I think we've had this scheduled a few times before and it never happened. We've got today from We've Read the Documents, John Brisson. Welcome to the show, John.
I'm glad to be here. Yes, we kept having to cancel back and forth, but I'm so glad it is long overdue for us to have a discussion. So I'm definitely glad to be here. Thank you very much.
Yeah, you first came on my radar from me listening to one of my favorite shows, The Infinite Fringe with Billy Ray Valentine. But you've been on a ton of shows of people who I care about. You were with William Ramsey recently talking about The Finders, which is one of my favorite topics. You've been on with The Odd Man and Jack Allen all the time, and those guys are great. So
kind of like a whole nexus of like conspiracy culture.
I love the Billy Ray Valentine click. That's what I call it.
Billy, I know you're gonna listen to this. He's a bust and no one should ever listen to Billy. He's like one of the worst people in the world. Okay. I just always got to go after him on that because he's always giving me crap.
Yeah.
So, Billy's one of my best friends.
Yeah, he's great. He came on the show real early, and it was, I think maybe when we first hit, maybe on like episode 12, but he came on and he was talking the CNP, which is the Council for National Policy, correct?
That is correct. Yes.
The conservative CFR.
Yes.
And he was talking that during the run up to the 2020 election and making everybody in the truther community mad because he was talking about how garbage Donald Trump was and everything like that.
Yeah.
And when everybody was kind of stuck in that two-party system, even people like us who are, should be divorced from it, but you know, it was,
Trump pulled me back in. I voted for him. Okay. Yeah. I voted for him in 2016. Didn't vote for him in 2020. By then I was like, I'm never voting again. I'm done. Yeah. Now.
He was tricky from the, you know, truther perspective or whatever you want to call us. Like, I don't know, you know, I never liked the guy, but at the same time, I spent so much time defending his ass to other people, you know? And I can see where someone on my path could have just been a little different than I was and be there, you know, fully supporting the guy. I was close to taking that step, but of course I didn't. But you know, when you defend a guy as much as I did, it's easy to like convince, it would be easy to convince myself that, yeah, no, I do like this guy. But
yeah, well, I'm glad you didn't go that far, Chuddix. I will say this though, however, was it the vaccine salesman? Cause he was like one of the greatest vaccine salesmen of all time. Was that especially there was a lot of people that fell away. They couldn't defend that, you know?
It was there in that 2020, you know, it's like you'd sit there and say, yeah, okay, whatever you have to say about Trump, but you know, some people would be saying, like, I was seeing a lot of people from the left come over and start saying, I think I might be voting for this guy because this is where all the people who aren't getting vaxxed and aren't wearing the mask are. And I'm like, yeah, but this guy's the guy who's kept Tony Fauci employed this whole time.
And
I don't know. I live in a pretty conservative area and I see a lot of people who I know are Trump supporters wearing the mask. You know, like, I'm sure that they're getting vaccinated. You know, I just didn't see the line that I think particularly liberals who were waking up in 2020, you know, they thought they would never, ever support the bad man Orange. But all of a sudden they were feeling kind of pushed into the camp where they needed to. And then someone like me, who's like a conservative that doesn't ever support either side.
Yes, me too.
You know, they kind of turned to me going like, yeah, because we're all on Trump's side here. And I'd be like, oh, fuck no, I'm not.
Well, remember in the debates, Trump did say, what, Joe, you don't trust Johnson & Johnson and Pfizer, mm-hmm. you know? And so, right. I mean, so now, because they're gussing up Trump to have him run in 2024, I believe it's going to be Trump versus Hillary, two electric boogaloo.
Sure, okay? Seems like it. So I think they're running a timeline loop on us.
Yeah, so if that's the case, okay, where it's going to be the worst election in American history again, okay, you know, Trump's got to tone down the vaccine rhetoric, okay? He can't be up there, you know, with Bill O'Reilly and say, screw it, we'll do our live, we'll get our boosters.
But it seems like he's going to grab onto that and be like, but I'm the one who unrolled the whole vaccine. Like, I saved America by getting everyone vaccinated. Yeah, I mean, a lot of people took it under Joe Biden, but he couldn't have done that if I hadn't had Operation Warp Speed, gotten everyone the mega jab.
He was saying that. He was saying that all the time. And I was sitting here and I was like, how can he be saying this? And people still be like, every time he brought it up during rallies, the crowd would boo him. He'd be like, boo!
You know? Yeah.
Whatever.
And then he'd say, oh yeah, there's a small group of them, but don't listen to them.
Yeah.
They want you to fall into that trap.
Yeah. It's the best. That's my favorite thing is calling it to Deborah and to people of her ilk, the mega jab. That's the funnest, great. Man.
Trump's back. I'm not taking Trump's vaccine.
Yeah. But John, we have you here. And the rumor is that you may have read some of the new Pfizer documents.
That is true. I've read it's. I specifically paid attention to and picked apart the adverse event report.
Okay.
That came out. I'm pretty sure you've seen it on both of y'all. Probably seen it on Twitter. It's kind of like they didn't really space it out or really like. It's just like this reaction happened, and it's just like a list from alphabetical order of every possible reaction that could have happened with anybody who got, you know, the Pfizer jab, you know, and so looking at it on just face value, reading through it, a lot of it does seem, you know, like things that would, you know, through my knowledge of how the mRNA, and I mean, it's not really a vaccine, it's more of a, causes a transfection, lack of a better words, of using the mRNA or the DNA viral vector, the adenovirus DNA viral vector for the Johnson & Johnson and AstraZeneca vaccines. But, you know, reading the report, there are things in there that you would expect, like they were putting polyethylene glycol and polysorbate 80 in the liposphere for the mRNA. So liposphere is like this fat molecule that like, you know, like encompasses the messenger RNA. So, you know, your cells, you know, take, you know, fat molecules in like lipocells and liposomes very easily. You've heard probably heard of liposomal glutathione supplements or liposomal vitamin C supplements. And, you know, sometimes your fat's breaking down fat into like smaller globules, like myocells, it'll take them in, you know, so the cell is very capable of taking, you know, this liposome in, but they encode the liposome with polyethylene glycol, which you can get the drug Miralax for, to cause diarrhea. And that's a whole nother discussion. Like it's a horrible drug. Like my website, Fix Your Gut. Like I talk about how it's really bad. Like it's not even FDA approved in adults for longer than 7 days. And you have, or it's not even FDA approved in children. The children
Miralax isn't.
Mm-hmm, doctors give polyethylene glycol like candy.
It's over the counter, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Correct. Yes. And so, you know, but it causes non-protein allergic reactions. Okay. Cause most allergic reactions that you have are is your body reacting to proteins. And in doing so, the body, of course, you know, reacts negatively to those proteins. Cytokines are released, neutrophils increase, you have mast cell destabilization. You know, that's kind of what happens if someone ingests something that they're quote unquote allergic to. Okay. Or they come in contact with something they're allergic to. So in people who may have like histamine intolerance where they have more like, or histamine sensitivity where they have, you know, they may have asthma or multiple allergies. You know, they, if they take in this, you know, non-protein allergen, this polyethylene glycol liposome or this polysorbate 80 liposome, they can have an immediate allergic reaction. They can go, I mean, that's what was happening to people that were immediately going in anaphylaxis.
Yeah.
Within a few minutes or instantly or 30 minutes after getting jabbed. Now, those were properly marked in VAERS because you can't really hide those type of reactions. You know, when someone, for most of them, were not all of them.
Yeah.
Most
when they're of them still, were, when they're still in the, sitting there for the 15 minute waiting period, they yes. gotta admit to those.
And some of them were serious. Some people had such strong allergic reactions that they had to be taken to the hospital, and some people died, you know, from anaphylactic shock. You know, it's a real serious, you know, condition. You know, EpiPens do help, but your EpiPens, they kind of increase the blood flow to the lungs, and they work as a bronchodilator, opens up, you know, the bronchial tubes that you can breathe better, but it doesn't save you all the time. You know, so there are people who died, you know, from going anaphylactic shock because this polyethylene glycol and this polysorbate 80 were in the liposomes of the vaccines. And a lot of that is listed when you're reading, you know, the numerous, I mean, there's so many conditions. Okay. But there are, and so what I'll get into is you can read it and it does appear, you know, based off of what we know about the mRNA and the production of the spike protein antigens on the cells and it leading to blood clots and aneurysms you know, cardiovascular disease and heart attacks, you know, that those were also listed in the adverse event report reaction too. You know, they're listed there, things that you would normally think you would find. But there were some things that were quite odd. One of them I want to make note, Adam, is Zika virus-like Guillain-Barré syndrome.
Yeah. Okay.
That was the very last thing listed. Now, why I find that interesting is my friend Mark from Houston Tonic Live.
Oh, I love Mark. Yeah.
And Dr. Great. Kevin McCarron, they both discussed kind of like the whole, you know, nexus of Dr. Robert Malone and Fauci and you know, the World Health Organization and their involvement of the Zika virus pandemic that never happened down there in Brazil, and how it really may have been they were testing some sort of maybe like a radioactive like medication that caused the birth defects.
Yeah, wasn't it giving babies big heads or something like
mm-hmm,
that?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I forgot the actual term for it, when the encephalopathy, when the head increases in volume, usually from swelling or water, but yeah, that was happening. When
was that? I can remember.
2016?
Okay.
2017, somewhere around there.
Yeah.
But interestingly enough, you know, Zika related Guillain-Barré syndrome. Now, Guillain-Barré syndrome is a condition mainly caused by vaccines. It can be caused by other things. It's kind of like it's like an autoimmune condition for the central nervous system in the brain. It's interesting that it just mentioned the Zika part. Because Zika supposedly, like how it disappeared or went away, is they were like, well, everybody kind of like the mosquitoes didn't reach everywhere. And where it did, people just became immune to it and it didn't become a thing. You know, that's like their answer. Okay. Which doesn't make any sense to me. But why was Zika, you know, associated Guillain-Barré syndrome listed as one of the side effects of the Pfizer vaccine? Okay. And so that's odd. And then also, you know, they talked about epilepsy being a symptom of people, you know, people having epileptic seizures or aggravating their epilepsy, or even people developing epilepsy from the Pfizer vaccine. However, one of the side effects that was listed on there was epilepsy surgery. Okay. Now, I'm not going to say that these documents are, you could have, just looking at the adverse reactions and my knowledge of everything, my medical knowledge, and I'm not a doctor. I'm not a healthcare professional. I'm a naturopathic author and health coach, and I've been studying health for more than a decade. Okay. It does seem legit, but at the same time, there are certain things in there that make you question, okay, everything in here in the kitchen sink is listed. Okay. Not to say that the vaccines could not cause that. And I've studied the VAERS reports. I've gone over the VAERS reports. I've got many strikes going over the VAERS reports, just reading them verbatim. Okay. With not any, I tried even one video. I was reading it word for word and not giving any explanation whatsoever. Got a strike for that.
On okay? YouTube?
Yes.
What a fucking world.
Yeah.
So I mean, but you know, so, but reading it though, and no, and familiar myself of a lot of the side effects, you know, we knew about the missing periods or the heavy periods or dysmenorrhea that the vaccines were causing months before even the mainstream media finally reported it. That's a thing. And they're finally studying it now. You know, if you look at the VAERS report, you know, there was case after case after case of women reporting that happening.
The right? Irregular menstrual cycles.
Yes. Irregular menstrual cycles, heavy menstrual cycles, heavy bleeding, no menstrual cycles, absent menstrual cycles.
Weren't they starting back up in postmenopausal women also?
I heard that too. Yes. That. Yes. Yeah. Just weird. Just really weird stuff. So again, you know, that was listed in the adverse, you know, event reaction report. But again, there's some things like epilepsy surgery. You know, it's like you, or even Zika related Guillain-Barré syndrome. Someone could argue that someone just opened up, you know, like a Merrick manual, okay, and just started, you know, writing every adverse event that you could possibly think of from A to Z, just using a Merrick manual based off of medical diseases, okay? Because there are a lot of extremely rare genetical, and I can get the list up and name some, extremely rare genetical mitochondrial diseases and like a kind of like a citric acid cycle diseases that you would normally only see in fetuses that, you know, are either aborted, you know, self abortion at birth or before birth, you know, terminated in the womb, you know, by the mother's body itself, just because, you know, the child wouldn't survive because of these very complex disorders, or the children wouldn't live, you know, a few weeks or months past birth with certain, you know, disorders of, you know, certain metabolism or mitochondrial disorders, but they were listed in the adverse reaction document. Okay. So again, I can see, is it real? Is it just, you know, are we being played? Is it a red herring? I don't know. All I could tell you is these vaccines are not good for anyone. Okay. And, you know, most times I would say, you know, the vaccine is either ineffective at best. Someone gets it, it just doesn't prevent COVID for them or whatever. I don't believe that to be true. I actually believe it's the worst outcome, which is they're harmful at worst. I believe they're harmful at worst. I think, you know, to everyone who's taken it, even if they are asymptomatic where they took them and they don't feel bad, we don't know 5 or 10 years down the line. We really don't know what's even happened to them. Let's say that they are of childbearing age. You know, we don't know if any damage has been done to a female's eggs or to a male sperm, for example. We don't know.
Well, you know, we do know, according to the CDC, that there's no future reproductive harm done to children who've gotten the vaccine. That's what they told them.
Because yeah. I mean, I was listening to the, I don't usually do this very often, but I was listening to the local radio station. I had a birthday party to go to, a kid's birthday party to go to. And I just happened, it was as odd as happened to leave it on. And I was just surprised of how many, you know, drug, you know, recall and suits were on the radio, you know, of how many, you know, this drug was recalled, this drug, you know, they knew it was, you know, cause problems and stuff like that and everything, but people still have faith in the medical establishment that they're going to get a rushed COVID vaccine, right? That hasn't even properly been tested. To me, it's just insanity.
So when you heard that on the radio, was that part of the news or was that like ads?
It was just ads. It was just ads.
Yeah, ads. Okay.
And it's the same thing. If someone turns into Fox News, for example, you'll see them all, you'll see ads for drugs, but then you'll see ads for lawsuits about the drugs that you just saw the ads for drugs for.
No, they're the ones that you saw the ads for 5 years ago. Yes. And you're seeing the ads for the lawyers for the drugs 5 years ago. Now you're seeing ads for drugs that you'll see ads for lawyers in 5 more years while you're seeing.
It's crazy, you know? And look, I'm not completely 100% against conventional medicine. I do believe it has its purposes. Like for trauma-based medicine, for example, I do believe that you could even, you know, add naturopathic medicine into trauma-based medicine for a more not conventional approach, but more integrative approach. You know, if I get a severe car accident and I'm bleeding on the side of the road, you know, it's supplements and, you know, proper nutrition and things like red light LED therapy or low level laser therapy, stuff like that's not going to save me. I'm bleeding out. Okay. However, it will improve my odds of surviving if those things were added into conventional care.
It's the combo because when they take you in for the trauma, they're also, what do? They feed you Jell-O and they feed you, you know, they treat you improperly, nutritionally speaking, while they're treating you, you know, for while you're bleeding out, you know, they're stopping the bleeding, but then they're also just filling you with poison.
Well, I have celiac disease. I'll probably die in a hospital because everything has gluten that they feed you the slop in the cafeteria. Not that I would try to eat it anyway.
Right. You know? Right.
So it's just the world that we live in. You know, I mean, you would think that the hospital, oh, I've gotten in so many fights with nutritionists. They don't even understand nutrition. It's ridiculous.
Oh, I bet, man. Oh, that's got to be hard. I know how much they don't understand. Having my wife and I just had a baby and, you know, we had to talk to people and we still have to occasionally, she like checks in with someone from the state on nutrition and they start explaining things like, you know, we're 2 years old and they're wrong about everything as well, you know? And
yeah.
She just kind of goes through, yeah, okay. Okay. She shows them that she knows more than the person that's talking to them. And they're just like, okay, yeah, you guys are good. And they hang up.
The state calls you to ask about your child.
Basically.
Yes.
Holy, I did not know that. I don't have kids yet.
I mean, there's a lot to it, to why we get that specific call, but yeah, they do. Yeah.
They do. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I would assume you denied the Hep B vaccine at birth.
Oh yeah. No vaccine. So
I did for, I sadly did not for my son, but I did for my son, my middle son, Abel, and I did for my daughter, Amelia. Hep B vaccine at birth is just.
Pardon
the kid's
going
to walk into a needle, you know, or it's just like,
you never
isn't
know.
Isn't that a gay sex party drug?
They never know, John. They might go to the club on the way home from the hospital.
I mean, for them to blanketly give it to every child, you know, like, for example, my wife and I, you know, we've been married, you know, for a long time, you know, and especially for my daughter, you know, like we're not drug users. You can obviously tell that, you know. It's something you can even ask somebody, you know. I mean, the chances of my daughter or any of my children getting hep B is next to nil, you know. So why give them that vaccine specifically at birth?
Hey,
now, I'm not here to get into vaccines as far as anything else but COVID at this point, but as something I just have to make note.
It's notable that that's absolutely insane.
I think I might have, I'm recalling hearing something, and I think it might be something to do with the hospital covering its own ass because babies were getting hep B from nurses.
Fuck.
Maybe. That's possible. Yeah.
I can see that.
I think I heard something like that, but I could be totally off base with that. But
no, I mean, then again, I mean, the nurse would have to, I mean, most of the time when you get hep B, it's either through, which is, I wouldn't even want to think of an infant or anything like that, but anal sex or intravenous drug use are the main contributors of hep B.
I guess
contaminated water too, but the chances of that in a first world country like the United States is, even our water is poisoned with things like fluoride and chloramines, but at least, you know, there's not a lot of bacteria in it. That's a whole another discussion. But go back to the Pfizer documents. I can go back and forth of whether they're legit or not, or whether they're a red herring. And I know a lot of people are going to knee jerk to that.
Legit. If they weren't legit, what do you mean by that?
They release them as a red herring. Like later there's going to be some sort of trap where it's going to come out where it turns out that they were not legit. You know, there's going to be some, and that may never happen. They may be legit. They say we have to be cautioned when we run, you know, headlong into stuff like this and everything. I mean, I'm guilty of it too, you know. I mean, we all make mistakes, don't get me wrong. I'm not sitting on my soapbox lecturing people saying I've gotten it right every single time. There's sometimes even I rush in, you know, and share things that are turn out to be incorrect later on. We all do that by mistake. It happens, you know, we're human. Yeah. You know,
but what would be the benefit to them not being legit to those people? Like, why would they put them out?
Just to make conspiracy theorists or people who question the vaccine, just to make them look foolish to the person who still has faith in the medical establishment.
Sure. Okay. Yeah, that's good enough for me.
So is Pfizer the only one that's released their documents?
And that's another question too, you know, why, I mean, we do know the supposed drug ingredients and active ingredients. We do know there is some data. You can read the vaccine inserts. You can find them. They're out there. I covered them on my channel when I could before they started really cracking down, you know? So there is information you can find, and there's some really good people discussing the vaccine, like Walter Chestnut on Twitter. I don't agree with him completely on everything, but you know, there are people who are really out there, excuse me, discussing how serious the vaccine truly is it's going to show it 5 to 10 years down the line. If it's as bad as some people like Dr. Kevin McCarron are saying, it's going to cause prion-like disorders and like cognitive like deficiencies, you know, possibly the world has never seen, you know, like severe dementia and early onset Alzheimer's disease. And it's
mad cow disease, right?
Yes, that is correct. Creutzfeldt-Jakob's disease is mad cow disease in humans. It's a prion disorder. You also have Kuru, which is another prion disorder from eating brains. You know, most of the time when people get exposed to prions is from eating mammalian brain matter. Or ingesting or coming in contact with mammalian brain matter that have contain these prions, which these misshapen folding proteins is the best idea of what we have, what we believe them to be.
Animals get it from eating. You get it from cannibalizing your own species, correct?
Or other species, yes.
Okay, but just from the brain matter?
Yes, yes.
Okay.
Hunters sometimes get a condition called chronic wasting disease, which is another prion disease that happens in deers. So, you know, if you're, you know, if you shoot a deer and you happen to, you know, blow an effective deer's brains out, for example, and then, you know, go and clean the deer and cut it and dress it and everything like that, enough exposure of that, you can get chronic wasting disease, you know? So, you know, it's something like, I don't know why exactly it's happening that way. As far as the, I mean, polysorbate 80, which are using a liposphere, even Dr. Kevin McCarron and I have discussed that, when it's being injected, you know, like the COVID vaccine, they claim it doesn't reach the bloodstream, you know, cause you're injecting it in, into muscle. And but we know that's a lie. We know that it does get into the blood, you know, and it does cross the blood brain barrier. Polysorbate 80 actually opens up the blood brain barrier. It makes it more porous. And once it gets in the brain, it can actually cause prions to develop within the brain. So there you're getting, if you know, if you got any of the shots that contain polysorbate 80 instead of polyethylene glycol, you have a double risk of getting a prion disorder there at that point. So
how far down the road do you think this this massive you know what do we call adverse events start happening?
I think they already are happening now.
Yeah, you think it's just gonna exponentially snowball?
Time will tell. Maybe it won't. You know, human beings are quite resilient. You know, God has made us that way. So I don't know. I don't know how bad it's going to be. I could already tell you it is bad. It's, enough is enough. We've already well surpassed, you know, what happened with the, you know, the handful of cases of Guillain-Barré syndrome, the swine flu of 1976 vaccine cause, and they recalled that vaccine.
Yeah. Know? What isn't it like 50, if there'd been 50 or five or 50 people who died from a vaccine, it gets pulled. Really,
yeah, we've already way surpassed the 1976 swine flu and the Guillain-Barré cases associated with it.
Yeah, what did the 1976 swine flu vaccine, when did it get pulled after? Like five?
I don't know how many cases. I think it was in the hundreds for Guillain-Barré, if I remember correctly.
Okay.
I might be mistaken off that, but it wasn't that many. There's probably more. See, swine flu 1976. Guillain-Barré, but the COVID vaccine, if you even look at open vares, it's way surpassed it.
Do you know what the vares data is at right now, what they're even admitting to?
Not offhand. I can bring up open vares right
now.
I'm listening to
the real Anthony Fauci on Audible right now.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, with the data at the time that book was being read by whoever, I think they said it was already at like 16,000, and that was early fall probably of 21.
16,000 deaths?
Yeah.
We're up to 24,827 now.
Okay.
And we do know because of the Harvard study, and most people quote the Harvard study wrong. Even Del Bigtree does, actually.
Yeah, he did the whole 10% or 1%.
It's 1% of all reactions. Now, that could be simple as you get a little raised bump on your arm, okay, of vaccines are underreported. It doesn't mean most people automatically contribute to death, you know, or severe illness. Maybe it's just as simple as you get a raised bump and that's it, you know, and that can happen.
1% of all reactions, such as as small as a hive, as large mm-hmm. as death, are reported.
Yes, correct. Or not even a hive. It could just be a mark. It could be, I mean, when you get your blood drawn, you can get a red bump.
Yeah,
you know, just, you know, so usually when people talk about it, they kind of leave that part out. And instead they're like, you know, well, you know, that means that 99% of the stuff that's not reported is death and maim. That's not true. I mean, you know, if all the reports are accurate, I still think it's grossly underreported. Just based off the Harvard study alone.
Yeah.
So how many deaths are we talking about? Are we talking hundreds of thousands around the world? Are we talking millions?
Yeah.
I don't know, but I can tell you that I do think it is more than 24,827.
That was that's worldwide or United States?
United States reported bears.
Okay.
And I think it's more than 24,827 people in the United States.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. What do you think the, are you just a follow the money kind of guy, or do you think there's something more macabre to this?
I mean, as a Christian, I think ultimately there's, you know, there are satanic forces at play that are, you know, so we're all told in the conspiracy movement, we're told about eugenics, right? Which I do think is real. I do think, you know, eugenics does play a role in it, and dysgenics. But I do think eugenics, which supposed to be, Mark talked about eugenics. I think a lot of this vaccine I think
what is the difference between eugenics and euthenics?
So euthenics is trying to kind of use epigenetics to slightly modulate a person's gene expression to kind of change certain things about them. Okay. Let's say, you know, you have a, I have not to get too technical. You have a ketoacyl methyltransferase deficiency. COMT is an enzyme that breaks down your catecholamines, your epinephrine, your norepinephrine, and your dopamine. Okay. So someone like me, I have a polymorphism where I produce less of that ketoacyl methyltransferase enzyme. So I have more dopamine in my body, I have more adrenaline going through me, and more norepinephrine going through me. Okay.
That explains your positive attitude.
Yes, yes, yes. But I also can very much be anxious. Okay. So I'm very rarely ever depressed, but I'm more prone to being anxious and more prone to having fight or flight and more prone, like when I get scared or spooked, I start shaking. Now it's not as bad as it used to be because I've corrected my nutritional imbalances and jacked my body up with a whole bunch of magnesium. So yeah, it's not as bad as it once was. Okay. But people without that mutation, instead they have too much COMT a lot of the time. So they're more depressed, but they're also warriors. You know, they feed off the adrenaline. They're like, yeah, you know? Yeah. So you could, you know, euthenics would be changing that. So for me, it would be changing that COMT gene to be expressed less so that I, you know, have less, you could do that nutraceutically, you know,
would that be used to make the population more docile?
Yeah. But I'm just giving one gene example. What euthenics is, it's kind of like changing that, you know, specific genes, supposedly for the better, but you could use it for the detriment of people. Okay. So my belief is, and it's Mark's belief too, and he was the one that we both kind of, he hypothesized this, but Mark did a lot of the grunt work on it, a lot of the research, and my hat's definitely off to him on this. My belief is with the mRNA vaccine and the DNA viral vector vaccine, they used a form of experimentalism where they kind of look at us as guinea pigs. So they want to keep the guinea pigs fat, happy, and healthy, running on the wheel, right? And so, you know, they kind of rolled this drug out to collect as much data as they can at one time. Okay.
Yeah.
And the hope, my belief is that they're going to use this technology to try to escape death.
When I heard Mark Kulak say that theory for the first time, probably four or five months ago, it was eye-opening to me.
Yeah, you know, me too, because we are always taught that it's eugenics, right? That they want to kill us all. Not that they don't want to kill us all, okay? Yeah. But as guinea pigs, you got to keep some guinea pigs around, right? Yeah,
and they gotta figure out how to live long enough to kill us all.
So if we die from the vaccine, to them, who cares?
Yeah,
you know, they're not actively using the vaccine to kill us. They're using the vaccine to gather massive data. I mean, Peter Thiel's funding a lot of, you know, the mRNA regeneration longevity research. I mean, he takes, you know, the blood and stem cells harvested from young blood and injects it into his body to live longer. Yeah. You know, these people want to escape death. They want to escape being held accountable to God for their actions. And so that's where I think a lot of this is, you know, I talk about Barbara Marks Hubbard, you know, on my channel a lot, of how she's a, you know, world elite, who just says, just really just, she's like the grandma that wants to smother you with a pillow. You know, she's like, I'm just doing this because I love you. Okay. I love you. Like Angel everything is death. Love. Yes, and Jesus is love and God is love, but it's a different Jesus. It's not the biblical Jesus. When you're reading her words, but she actually talks about, and I was trying to find the actual quote here.
What book is that?
Happy Birthday, Planet Earth, The Instant of Cooperation by Barbara Marks Hubbard. She wrote in the 80s. Okay. She actually talks about, and me and Mark have gone a lot of research in this, and we really do believe that the elite believe this. They believe that through mRNA modulation, it's almost a spiritual aspect. And by using mRNA to change someone's gene expression, they can ascend or overcome or become the Ubermensch.
Well,
so that's what I believe this COVID vaccines were, specifically the mRNA vaccines. And Mark, you know, believes it too. It's a hypothesis that we've been trying to prove or work through. And if it turned out to be untrue, you know, then so be it. I'm wrong. You know, I mean, if I'm wrong, I'll go wherever the research leads me. But I believe exactly what this was it was just mass experimentalism. Get as much data as you possibly can. Remember, as soon as you get the jab, your past, present, and future medical history goes into a Palantir database under Operation Tiberius Kirk, under Operation Warp Speed. Okay. So they're gathering all that data for something.
Yeah. Some other good work that Mark did was his expose on Robert Malone. Do you have any thoughts on that guy?
Mark and I were researching that together. Robert Malone's a snake.
Let's get into it, man. Yeah, I never trusted that guy for a second, even though he was getting wheeled out on all the, before he went on Joe Rogan. He was on Union of the Unwanted. He was on Ripple.
Wow, Effect. I didn't know that. Really?
Yeah, he was on the Ripple Effect with and that's an awesome show, you know, with Ricky Ferrandis and a whole bunch of stuff.
I knew he was on Ricky Verandas. I knew that, but I did not know he was in Union of the Unwanted. Okay. So a lot of people have been programmed through psychological warfare to believe that Robert Malone is our guy.
Okay. Yeah. Let me interrupt for just one second. Yes. On Union of the Unwanted, he was still at the point of saying that some people, like the elderly or the at risk, should be vaccinated. And I think he's moved on from that now to nobody.
Yeah, but he's got two and a booster himself.
Yeah, I know.
You know, and I've got none. Everybody here, I would assume, that's on this, you know, that's on the podcast with Adam, I would assume none of us are jabbed.
I'm up to date.
Yes.
With what makes me comfortable.
So, because of that,
I'm up to date with my own schedule.
Yes. So because of that, you know, I mean, Malone was working with I've covered this on my channel. I had to put it up on my Libre. I couldn't keep it up on my YouTube. I've done two shows with Mark already on it. And he's done just, more research to continue with it. Malone worked with an Indian, I have to get the name, I don't remember exactly offhand, an Indian biotech company that is producing their own vaccine for COVID.
Yeah, that's what I've known too. Yeah.
And there was literally a presentation, and people still love to make excuses for the man. All right. And this didn't happen like, you know, a year and a half ago. You know, this has been quite recent. This is, you know, he's gone out there and, you know, shilled for this vaccine. Okay. And I'm like, well, that's not good. And then he used to shill for Novavax. Okay. And so, Novavax, it is an mRNA and it isn't a DNA viral vector, but it is a load of purified spike protein, a spike protein bomb or payload, as you will, injected right into the human body. That can't be good.
No.
All right. So he used to shill for Novavax quite hard. I don't know if he still does or not. I haven't heard him per se, but, you know, and then, back to Zika. Malone was one of the biggest people down there getting kudos from the World Health Organization for trying to repurpose drugs for Zika. And he spoke at a World Health Organization conference about the Zika virus. He was one of the main people pushing the Zika virus narrative. All right. I mean, Robert Malone is not trustworthy at all, but they're going out there and putting him frontline as sinkers. I mean, he spoke at Thiel's, a Hereticon conference with Brett Weinstein. You know, I mean, Eric Weinstein is the managing director of Thiel Capital, you know? So, I mean, what am I supposed to think about all this? I mean, when I saw Malone, I said, that guy is too slick and polished. I mean, me and Mark joke, we call him he looks like the guy from the Dos Equis commercial, the most interesting man in the world, you know? So we say his vaccine is Dos Spikies. Okay. I said something's not, and what even now, this is a weird finder's tie in. Okay.
Oh,
him and his wife, you know, Jill Glasspool Malone, live near Culpeper, Virginia.
Yeah.
That's where Marion Petty, you know, that's where one of the Finder's main areas were.
Yeah, and he was.
That's weird in and of itself.
So, you know? So Robert Malone lives in Virginia on his.
Yes, he lives in a on his horse farm.
On his horse farm with his Portuguese horses, whatever. Yeah.
Have you seen the pictures of him looking like Napoleon?
No.
Okay, Mark. Those pictures are some of the funniest pictures I've ever seen in my entire life. All right, it's literally him dressed up like he is some sort of Civil War. Or Napoleonic, like I mean, the full battle regalia on, all right, on top of his prize-winning horses, okay? It's a sight to behold. It reminds me when Putin was riding the horse, you know, with the shirt off, the infamous picture of Vladimir. So it's kind of like that, but it's Malone's best opportunity to try to do that. You know, and also, I mean, Jill Glasspool Malone, you know, both her and Robert are bleeding heart liberals, social justice warriors. Okay. And now they're trying to gussy them up as conservatives. And Robert Malone speaks at CPAC 2022. Get out of here.
Did he really?
Yes. We have ample evidence of them for the past few years just being staunch SJWs. And even as soon as 2020, Jill Glasspool Malone making Facebook. I believe it was Facebook I saw. Mark was showing them. I think it was on her Facebook page of her just denouncing Trump, you know, and look, I'm going to denounce Trump too, but I'm a conservative, you know, but she was denouncing Trump for, you know,
the regular reasons.
Yeah. Like, you know, like he's a bigot. He's, you know, he's this, he's that, you know, kind of like the SJW type aspects of denouncing him, you know, instead of, you know, he's a crime, you know, he's a criminal, you know, the whole vaccine salesman, you know, Epstein, you know, much connections with Trump and Epstein, almost there is Bill Clinton Epstein, you know, so all that, you know, you take that, you know, but no, it's not that, it's because Orange Man bad. Okay.
Yeah.
So,
do you think he is captured by the CIA? Do you think he is an asset and knows about it? Or do you think he's possibly an unwilling participant?
The more Mark and I research about Dr. Robert Malone and his ties and closeness to Anthony Fauci and Judy Mikovits and all them, the closer we come to the determination that he has to be in on it to some regard.
What's your opinion on Judy Mikovits?
She's, I mean, just as Mark's covered her, there's so many bodies that are on the Anthony Fauci list that are tied in her nexus. I don't know. It's kind of weird.
Yeah.
So, I mean, her brother was the one who found Vince Foster murdered, you know?
What?
Yes, she tells about it in her book.
That's crazy.
Her brother was the officer who found the park in
Virginia.
Found Vince Foster murdered. Yes.
That's insane.
So, I mean, Mark's done numerous shows on Judy. Mark gives Judy a little bit more grace than I do, but Judy's running around at these Reawaken America conferences, you know, Flynn, Clay Clark stuff.
Oh, she is. I haven't heard anything from her for a long time, but she's making the rounds on these conservative festival tours.
I mean, her whole XMRV, you know, that was supposed to be the next HIV. It's supposed to be HIV on steroids. Everybody's been exposed to it through, you know, vaccines and stuff like that and everything. Like, it was supposed to be the next doomsday scenario for the medical establishment. And there were supposedly a few good doctors and whistleblowers that we believe that mysteriously met their untimely demise. And they were on the Anthony Fauci list that were actually the ones that were saying, no, XMRV really is not a thing. And that it's a deception. And Judy's wrong. And, you know, I mean, I've looked at Judy's research of XMRV. I don't think it is really truly anything that we should be concerned of the way that she tries to pimp it out for being everything and anything. And I mean, there was, if I remember correctly, there was mainstream information being put out like on newspapers, you know, like front page newspapers about XMRV and about, you know, this whole finding and everything. Like, it was supposed to be the next HIV AIDS.
When
and
was that? I've never even heard of that. When was that?
That was during the 90s.
Okay. That's crazy. And she was a not a proponent, but she was one saying that it was coming.
No, she was one of the major researchers for it.
Okay.
Under the National Institutes of Health. So
she was way off on her research on that then.
Oh, yes, very much so. So.
Got it. Yeah, that's wild. Well, I guess we got that stuff out of the way. So let me ask you about, you want to talk to us about some, we've had you almost for an hour. Let's keep it close to an hour. So, cause it's later where you are.
Okay.
You want to talk to us, about some gut health stuff. I know, Chet X and I are both, really interested in that. We're, both leading healthy, lifestyles and fermenting foods. Chet X's wife, Lanny, is a phenomenal food preserver and fermenter.
He sure is.
Ferments. So which ferments we talk about? We talk about sauerkraut. We talk about kvass. We talking about kimchi. We talk about kombucha.
All of the above.
Okay.
All of the above.
I'm a fan of ferments. I will say this though, however, anybody who does have histamine intolerance or mast cell destabilization, they might be sensitive to the histamine that are in. Now you can ferment sauerkraut for longer than 35 to 45 days, and the histamine levels in the sauerkraut will almost drop down next to zero. So that someone with histamine intolerance or someone with mast cell destabilization would be able to ingest it, would be able to get the health benefits of most of the strains that are generally in sauerkraut would be your lactobacillus, primarily probably lactobacillus plantarum. So they would be able to ingest, those probiotic bacteria and would be able to reach the benefit without any negative consequences that may come from it. I'm a huge believer in fermented foods. I do believe that, you know, that they're very important for proper gut health and proper overall health. However, there are a few caveats that people that I've coached throughout the many years, that some people can't initially tolerate them, and histamine intolerance being one of the main causes of why.
What does that look like when someone has a histamine intolerance?
Well, it depends. It can manifest itself in two ways. So there's two major enzymes that break down histamine in the human body. One's diamine oxidase and the other is histamine and methyltransferase. HNMT. So DAO is primarily produced in the lining of your small intestine. And so when you ingest foods, because you're ingesting foods that contain certain amount of natural histamine in them. And then you're also, you're ingesting histamine producing amino acid like L-histidine. And then you're also your own, you know, microbiome's producing histamine too as well, right? Your own cells are producing histamine. So the DAO kind of detoxifies the histamine mainly from ingestion of food mainly, and some of it from what, you know, your microbiome produces in your intestinal tract. And if the lining of your small intestine becomes damaged, happens a lot of people with gut dysbiosis or small intestinal bacterial overgrowth syndrome or yeast syndrome, or parasites can also trigger TH2 or histamine responses. They produce less DAO or diamine oxidase. And there's also DAO gene. So some people naturally produce less DAO if there's polymorphisms in those DAO genes, as well as people who are, you probably have heard of methylation. So people who are they have problems with their methylation cycle, you know, under methylators, and there could be MTHFR, MTRR polymorphisms or mutations associated with that. They could have histamine intolerance as well. So most people with DAO deficiency, they generally get after they eat high histamine foods. Ferments would be an example of that. Avocados would be another example. Canned fish would be another example. They tend to break out in hives, or they kind of have, like, some people severe enough that they can have anaphylaxis, asthma, allergies, postnasal drip, itching. Those are, you know, high heart rate, tachycardia. Those are kind of symptoms of DAO deficiency, where HNMT, which is usually, because histamine is a neurotransmitter as well, is an alert neurotransmitter. It keeps your, you know, keeps you awake, keeps you alert. If it's, you know, it's broken down in the brain primarily and the rest of the body by HNMT. So it's methylated, then broken down to be eliminated throughout, you know, by the kidneys. If you have a deficiency in HNMT, you tend to have, if you ingest foods that are high in histamine, you tend to have more of like racing thoughts and anxiety and insomnia and brain fog. And so it can manifest, like, so you can have someone who has HNMT problems, has problems with methylating histamine in the brain, but their DAO is perfectly fine. So, you know, they have no hives or allergies or asthma or whatever, but they ingest a high histamine food and they're a nervous wreck. They can't sleep. So, you know, that's usually the ways the histamine intolerance can manifest itself through, just simple put of how's the body breaking down the histamine. you know, and there are people who are over methylators like I was, where I didn't have enough histamine, you know, so it doesn't matter how much histamine foods I ate. I could eat ferments all day long. I'd be perfectly fine. So you kind of look at histamine as like a drink cup, you know, so you have like a medium size and that's the average person. And most of the time you can fill up that cup with as much histamine as you want. Maybe if they get, I don't know, maybe a bee sting or something, they might have a slight allergic reaction to that, you know, but outside of that, you know, they're relatively fine. They rarely suffer from allergies. If they do, it's occasionally seasonal. You know, they may have one or two foods that they may react to.
That's interesting. If I can interrupt just for a sec, yes. You know, I eat a lot of these fermented foods. We've been doing this for years, and I believe that I felt a lot of health benefits from it mm-hmm. in different ways. But last summer, right at the end of the season, I got stung by a few bees at the same time, some bald-faced hornets, and I had a terrible reaction to it. And I've been stung over and over and over again. I mean, you know, maybe I'm oversaying that, but you know, I've been stung a lot throughout my life, and it's never, ever, ever affected me until this last September. And then all of a sudden it threw me for a loop.
I'm
kind of always uptaking my fermented foods. It seems, I mean, I kind of go down sometimes, but like I try to consume some every day. I do consume some every day. But you know, at that time it was summer. I mean, we were making kvass out of mm-hmm. like all the different fruits that we have growing around here and stuff. I mean, I was drinking kvass constantly, sauerkraut. I make sausage. So we were making sausages
very high
sauerkraut.
Histamine.
Like, yeah, yeah. I was overfilling that cup, I bet.
And you know, some people, like if they have methylation issues or over methylators, a cup will be like a big gulp. It doesn't matter how much histamine you throw in there. For the most part, you know, they can handle it. Then people with under methylators or people with histamine intolerance, that cup's smaller. It's like a child size, mm-hmm. you know. And so you either have to, you know, work to get the cup just right, you know, by, you know, changing someone's microbiome. A lot of histamine producing bacteria and dysbiosis can trigger it. Yeast overgrowth makes people more histamine sensitive. Parasitical dysbiosis makes people more histamine sensitive. So there's different causes, there's different reasons. It's very complex, but you know, I've coached many people out of it. I mean, I know a guy who was so bad, he lived in Chicago, God forbid, when he go outside in the windy city and when wind would hit, in his face, you'd have tactile urticaria, you'd break out into hives from the wind. And there's some people actually allergic to water on their skin, actually, because they have such severe histamine intolerance. And they can drink water perfectly fine, but if it touches their skin, they break out into welts. I mean, histamine intolerance, mast cell destabilization, and there's even further, which is mast cell activation syndrome. That's the worst of the worst of histamine issues. It kind of can go in stages. And histamine is necessary. Like you need it. You know, the immune reactions are important. Most people don't realize you react to every single thing that you eat in some capacity. You might just make slightly secretory immune globulin A response when you eat. Okay. But that's normal.
That's the way me and my wife look at all food for sure.
Yeah.
You know, like you know, we feed these ferments to our kids and stuff like that too. And we, you know, we pay very close attention to all those things because we see it, you know, like a lot of things we also see us on the other end of the spectrum is things are poison that we ingest, you know, and it's like, you know, I mean, everything affects you. We very much believe that.
And there's something called a hermetic effect too, Chud. I mean, you know, just because something is poisonous per se, the right dosage, it may elicit proper gene expression. You know, for example, sunlight. You know, I believe sunlight is crucial for proper health. One of the biggest lies that we were ever told by the medical establishment was that the sun is the devil and don't ever get sun or you'll get skin cancer. I mean, that's one of the main ways that we make vitamin D and nitrous oxide is from the sun. I mean, you also have the photoelectric effect of the sun, where it's debatable of how much, you know, electrons we really truly get when we're exposed to the sun that our body's able to use. But sun is crucial. I mean, it's one of the biggest things that made me healthy was, you know, getting sun. I mean, we need sunlight exposure through our retina for proper serotonin production, which which is later methylated into melatonin in complete darkness. You know, I mean, I can go on and on about that. I don't want to, you know, be a blowhard, but
just question real quick there with that. What do you think of sunglasses?
They're not good.
They're not good. Yeah.
I never wear them.
Yeah. 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 I quit wearing sunscreen a few years ago. And then 2 years ago, I quit wearing sunglasses as well. And I swear to God, I can tolerate more sun now than mm-hmm. I ever could. I used to burn. I'm kind of red. So, you know,
Me too. I mean, I used to too, but if you eat, let me ask you this. Do you eat any seafood?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, omega-3 fatty acids is what protects a lot from skin photooxidation.
Yeah. Yeah. I eat as much seafood as I can.
There you go. So that's why you don't burn anymore, even though you and I have very fair skin. We don't burn anymore because of the omega-3 and also because proper health changes in our diet and blah, 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 and stuff like that. But, you know, I mean,
sure.
I never burn anymore. I just don't burn. I can't tell you the last time I burned.
It's mind blowing to me that I don't anymore because I'm out here, I'm homesteading. So like I'm spending days where, you know, a day off of work and I am outside from dawn to dusk and I'm not using any sunscreen or anything like that. And I should at least have a red neck, you know, or something, but, nothing. I mean, it's kind of mind bending.
Yeah. And it's because of that. I mean, have you ever came across the work of Jack Cruz? Mm-hmm. I don't agree with Jack with everything, but he's right about, I mean, there's studies that show that, kids who, got a lot of seafood and got a lot of sun through their retinas, played outside a lot as a child. There's a lot greater, there's a lot less of a chance that they need corrective eyewear and glasses later in life, you know? And that was one thing for me, cause I had asthma. They made me eat fish cause I was allergic to beef and pork. So they were like, you know, you need to eat fish. So I ate a lot of fish as a child. I got a lot of sun. You know, so maybe that's why I don't have to. I mean, both my parents had to wear glasses. I do not. I have perfect 20/20 vision still to this day. And actually, I know, Adam, you wear glasses. When you go outside, you should actually take your glasses off and expose your eyes to the sunlight every day because the light spectrum is different from your glasses. Even if you don't have transitions lenses.
Yeah, I do have transition lenses. So
it's even worse for you. And God forbid, no one should ever get LASIK surgery. Okay. Wow. We're finding out Jack Cruz talks about this. It's going to lead to dementia. It's going to lead to people having problems sleeping and problems producing melatonin, from, you know, less serotonin being produced from blue light signaling through the retina. You know, it's not good. It's not good. So, I mean, you know, I could tell you this. I do have mild seasonal affective disorder when it's December around here in North Carolina. I haven't seen the sun in 3 weeks.
Yeah.
I do get a little depressed.
We both live in the Northwest part of the country, you know, where it's pretty gloomy here for 6 months out of the year, you know? So
yeah,
that's not good for health.
Yeah.
It just isn't. There are artificial lights that you can use. They're not perfect. I believe God gave us, you know, the sun, and nothing's better than the sun. However, you know, there are times where people should use red light LEDs for example, I hurt my shoulder a few days ago and I've been using my red light IR machine on it, and it healed quite quickly from using that. And it's perfectly fine now. Low level laser therapy, I believe in it. I believe green lights for people who have migraines, you should look into green light therapy. It works very well. Blue light therapy does work good for seasonal affective disorder. However, we're all exposed to toxic blue light as it is. I mean, you use a cell phone. I look red because I'm running flux on my computer at 1800 degrees Kelvin, you know, so I want as little blue light as I possibly can. I mean, I do have a 27,000 Kelvin light bulb up there, but it's incandescent. You can still buy incandescent bulbs. They're kind of difficult to get, but you can still get them, you know? So a lot of the blue light that we're exposed to is just wrecking our circadian rhythm. It's just destroying it.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it's bad. It's real bad. So
you think those blue blockers work?
They do to some degree. Yes. You shouldn't really wear them when you're driving though. Jack Cruz, and I don't really know why it is, but I can say this anecdotally, it kind of messes with your kind of like your global position, like how you, not your GPS on your phone, but your actual, like,
yeah,
sense of direction's kind of off a little bit when you're using them in the car. And a lot of people have noted that. I don't know what that's about.
I almost want to try that just to see if I can feel that.
It's a little.
I haven't worn them much. My son wears them though, because he likes to play video games.
I'm guilty. I play video games too. So.
There's nothing wrong with it, but he likes to do it in the evenings with low lighting in the room. And a friend of ours saw him doing that, and she was like, "Hey, you should try these." And she just gave us a pair.
To tell him there's a television box you can get called Drift Television or Drift TV, and you can hook up the TV through that box, and it'll do it for you automatically.
Oh, no shit. Yeah, that's an interesting idea.
I do my best to limit blue light. I do my best to limit non-native EMF. Like I'm using an AirTube headset right now, for example. A lot of that stuff is affecting our health very negatively, and it's almost impossible to escape in the 4G, 5G world that we live in. You know, unless you live out in the middle of nowhere in the radio dead zone, then maybe you can, maybe.
I think.
But there are things that you can do to reduce your exposure to it as much as possible. So.
Yeah. I don't mind the blue blockers. I got a pair for myself for watching TV in the evenings and stuff like that, but I tend not to wear them, not because for any other reason that I don't like. I used to wear sunglasses, but I've never worn glasses. I got 20/20 vision, and it's just not. It's not something I think to do. You know,
yeah,
I don't
me
think
either.
To put them on my face. You know,
don't wear your blue blockers during the day, though. Don't. Yeah, now, if I've you go into fluorescent lighting in Walmart, then if you're sensitive to that, then maybe, yeah, you want to wear them in Walmart or wherever you go that has fluorescent lighting.
Yeah.
Or if you're God forbid ever stuck in a hospital where the lighting never goes off, then you'll probably do want to wear them there too as well.
I never thought of it for places like that. That's an interesting idea.
Fluorescent lighting is so toxic, Chud and Adam. It really is. Like if you ever looked at the light spectrum of like the different like light bulbs, fluorescent lighting has like strong peaks of green light, and it looks just when you compare it to natural sunlight, it looks foreign, almost alien. It just does not look good.
Interesting.
There's a lot to think about, John. It's been too long, and I'm really happy that we finally got you on. Let's do it again sometime soon. Where can people find and support you?
Yeah, you can find me. We've read the documents on YouTube. We've_read on Twitter. Fixyourgut.com for all your digestive health needs. Thank you for having me on Deborah Gets Red Pill, Adam and Chud. It's been great. I had a great time. I need to have you guys on. It'd be great to have a conversation for sure. Yeah. Chud, I'd keep in touch. I'd love to talk to you about, you know, both of y'all actually about natural health and everything like that.
Yeah. I can do health talk for many years. For a long time. My wife's into it too. We have our own podcast, The World As It Is Today. Okay. Maybe we can talk about setting something up over there too.
Yes. Yes.
So. Yeah, this has been great talk. It's great to meet you. It's great to talk about this stuff.
Right on, John. Well, thanks for giving us your time on a Thursday night. We really appreciate it, man.
Anytime. Thank you, Chud.
All right, we'll talk soon.
Peace out, brothers.
Thanks for listening. Bye. See you guys. Bye-bye.